Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 8. We're going to be talking about the Beatitudes. Told you weeks ago, we're in lesson 20. Probably going to stop in 4 weeks and end this up. That'll be a 24-week study that we've been through. The Beatitudes, what does that mean? That's the attitude of a Christian. That's what our attitude ought to be. It shows us, Jesus sat down here and he showed his disciples what their attitude should be. So tonight, I don't know about you, but if Jesus shows me my attitude, that's what I want my attitude to be. Amen? If you have a copy of God's Word tonight, I ask you to stand. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 1. We'll read them back down to verse number 8, and then we'll go through our Bible study tonight. The Bible says, Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Father, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you. Father, I thank you for every prayer request that was mentioned tonight. Lord, I lift them up to you tonight. I thank you for the miracle that Brother Tony talked about tonight. Lord God, I thank you for that. I thank you that you're still in the saving business. I thank you still in the miracle business. I thank you that there's not nothing that you can't do. Father God, you can move on who you want to, when you want to, how you want to, and where you want to. And I believe that tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray tonight that you guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let us have this study tonight that it be pleasing to you. And Lord God, I pray tonight that you bless in a mighty way, Father. Father, I love you and I thank you. Be with Sister Nicole as she goes in tomorrow for her surgery there. Father, I pray you would touch. Lord God, I pray you have your will and way in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come and we look here at the title of it would be Blessed Are the Pure in Heart. Tonight the key verse to memorize is Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." To memorize means to know, to learn, or to keep forever. You ought to have about 20 scriptures right now at least in your memory bank right now that you've memorized in 20 weeks that you've put into your heart, put into your mind. And what God would have you to do. But tonight I want to look at the sixth beatitude that Jesus spoke to his disciples on being pure in heart. The word pure is so powerful and carries the meaning of being true, transparent, or even crystal clear. The Lord always looks on the inside of a person. You know, tonight, God's no respecter of persons. He don't look on the outside at the clothes you got on. He don't look how your hair's brushed. He don't look at what you got going on the outside. You know what God does? He always looks on the inside. He's worried about your inside. He's worried about your heart. He's worried about your soul. He's worried about your spirit. He's worried about the inside. The Lord always looks on the inside of a person. And the spiritual heart is what he wants to be pure. Not this heart that we got here that's a muscle. That's not the heart he's talking about. He's talking about the heart, your thinking, your being, who you are, your heart, your motives, your mind, your what you got going on, what moves you. In Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 8, Jesus says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." He said their heart is far from me. So tonight I want to look at a pure heart. Here in this text, I want to look at a pure heart tonight. And I want you to understand tonight that a pure heart, number one, is real. You say, "Preacher, I know a lot of folks and they act like they're pure. They talk to be pure. They want to be pure. They seem to be pure. But behind closed doors, they're not pure. No, their integrity and what I think about them." But you listen to me tonight. I'm talking about a pure heart. I'm talking about a heart that God's got a hold of tonight. Nobody has a pure heart until God gets a hold of that heart. The Bible says that the heart is wicked and deceitfully evil. Only that is what the heart is. But when God gets a hold of a person's heart, that heart becomes pure at that moment. And you say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" If you look with me, what a pure heart is real tonight, it comes from God. That heart that he puts in you, it comes from God. You're not born with a pure heart. You're born with a sinful heart. You're born with a heart that is sinful and wicked, and it needs to be touched by an almighty God. It needs to be, that stony heart needs to be took out, and a new heart put in. The Bible says in Ezekiel 11 and verse number 19, "I will give them one heart and I will will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. He said, I'm going to take that stony heart out, and I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a heart that's pumping for God, that's believing in God. It comes from God, but it's also created by God. If you look here on your paper, it says in Psalm 51:10, the Bible says, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Oh, King David knew that he couldn't create that clean heart. That clean heart had to come from God. So he said, not only does it come from God, but it's created by God. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Tonight, do you know when that heart gets real and it gets pure, I want you to know it comes from God, it's created by God, but that heart is also cleansed by God. I want you to know tonight, you can be filthy on the outside, you can be dirty and still have a clean heart on the inside. You can go out and work in the mud, work on vehicles, get as dirty as you can get, and that inside can still be clean. And you can go out and wash up and clean up, take the best bath you've ever had, shave, clean up, do all them things, and that inside of you still be dirty. It ain't done you a bit of good. Folks, I'm telling you, God is worried about the inside of an individual. And he said, blessed are those who has a pure heart, for they shall see God. I see not only a pure heart is real, but I want to give you this. A pure heart is rare. It's very hard to find in the world we live in somebody that is pure. I sat down a while ago and I told my wife about little Henry had just got baptized. I said, that may not have been the most special baptism that I've ever done. I don't know which one is. They're all special to me. But I said, that is the sweetest baptism that I've ever done in my life. When I got in that water, that young man, he didn't fight it. He wasn't nervous. He went into that water believing who Jesus Christ is, believing in the finished work on the cross of Calvary, and was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, what does that mean? A pure heart is real, but a pure heart is also rare. If you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter number 15 and verse number 2 tonight, I want to show you this. And you say, what's the big deal about having a pure heart? That means you're not double-minded. You're not one way at work and another way at home. That means that you're pure, and you're transparent. What they see at work is what your wife sees at home. What they see is what, everywhere you go, you're the same person. You're not one way here and a different way there. But King David asked in Psalm chapter number 15 and verse number 1, King David asked, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? He said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in the holy hill? King David asked that question. A man that was after God's own heart asked God that question. You say, preacher, who does that? Look in verse number 2. God laid it out here. He said, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. You say, preacher, what does that mean tonight? That means if you want that pure heart, and it is rare, you look for somebody that's been born again, truly born again, not getting in and getting out, but truly in the Word of God, truly following God. And here's what a pure heart is. It's he that walketh upright. What he does is upright. It is upright according to the Word of God. That's having that pure heart washed by the blood of Jesus. He walketh upright. He worketh righteousness. James chapter number 2 and verse number 20, the Bible says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Folks, tonight I want you to know, we can't work our way to heaven. It's through grace alone, through the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you're saved tonight, they ought to be works that follow you. They ought to be works that tag along with you. You ought to be working for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what a pure heart does. Monday night, I was sitting at home, and our director of missions called us, and he said, Brother BJ, I know it's short notice, but would you be willing to go to Lamar County Jail and preach tomorrow with me? Would you be willing to go? And I said, yes. And he said, by the way, it's an hour, a window that we've got to occupy. I thought, well, I got that made. I can cover that hour. I don't have to worry about the hour, Brother Lee. Can I get an amen? But as I went in there, I'm telling you what, we got preaching the Word of God and got talking to them men. And when we got done talking to them, this young man come up, and he said he thought he had it all together. He thought he knew everything that was going on, and he was going to tell me what was going on in his life. And we got down there to pray, and he said, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. There ain't nothing wrong with me. I said, well, why are you in jail? I'm a Christian. I said, well, what are you in jail for? He told me what he's in jail for. I said, a man of God ought not never have that in his life. A man of God ought not never have that on his resume. A man of God should not be sitting in this place locked up away from your family, away from your kids, and you call yourself a born-again child of God, and you're down here in the local jail. I said, man, that don't line up. Son, tears start flowing down his face. I said, listen to me. If you're a child of God, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, you must follow Jesus Christ. You must follow him. Friends, I'm telling you what, there's a lot of folks out there, and I'm not judging that man, but there is no way that he should be in that place. There is no way that a pastor should have to go visit church members in the local jail. Folks, I'm telling you right now, there ought to be a difference in our life, and we ought to be pure in heart. We ought to be pure in heart. It is real when God touches you, and it is rare when God touches you. Tonight, I want you to know this. It is rare when God touches somebody. Don't take it for granted tonight. Just as Brother Tony told about the miracle of the young man's foot, I believe that 100%. And I want to tell you something else tonight. One of the greatest miracles you'll ever see is when somebody truly gets born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is a miracle in itself, folks, that somebody will turn to an almighty God in the world we live in. It's being pure in heart is real. Being pure in heart is rare. He that walketh upright, he that worketh righteousness, and he that speaketh the truth in his heart. Do you know you can tell a lie long enough you'll believe it? You can tell a lie long enough you'll even believe your own lie. But here David said, who is going to dwell in the tabernacle of Almighty God? He said, Lord, I want to know who's going to dwell there. You know why? Because David wanted to be there. David wanted to be where God was. Just what you said, Brother Tony. I want to be where God is. I want to see miracles. I want to see things change. I want to see God move in a mighty way. And you do that by being pure in heart. When he saves you, you get real with God. So God will be real with you. Pure in heart is real, and pure in heart is rare. He that speaketh truth in his heart. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart. What is that? If I regard sin in my heart. I know I have sin. I know I've sinned. And I'm not willing to repent. I'm not willing to ask God. I'm not willing to get on my knees before an almighty God and repent. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Have you ever been praying and you act like, and it felt like your prayers didn't go nowhere? Man, you've prayed and you prayed and you prayed and it seemed like it didn't get no higher than the ceiling. Most of the time when I get there, you know what I do? I start backing up, making sure there's nothing in my life, making sure there's nothing holding God back from giving me what I need or sending down that blessing in my life or moving on a certain situation or moving through. Tonight, can I say to you, not only we should not have iniquity in our heart, but in Matthew 23:27, I want you to get this. He that speaketh truth in his heart. And here's what Jesus said here to the Pharisees and the scribes. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You know what that? You know what a hypocrite is? Everybody here knows what that is. You say you one thing, but you're something else. You act one way, but you're really something else. You ain't who you say you are. And I'm not going to ask you, do you know any, because everybody be doing two hands at one time. They say one thing, and they act one way when a certain crowd's there, but when another crowd gets around, they act a different way. You ever seen somebody like that? And that's what he's talking about here with church folks. If you're going to be a Christian in the house of God, you be a Christian at your workplace. You be a Christian. You be a child of God. If not, quit calling yourself one. If you say that you're a Christian, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, your attitude ought to line up according to the Beatitudes. Our attitude ought to line up that way. And I say this all the time, and I mean it in the depths of my heart. I want to live for my Lord and Savior to the best of my ability, Brother Logan. I want to live that way. I want to act that way. I want to be that way. I want to do what God has called me to do. I want to do that to the best of my ability. And folks, I don't know about you, but one of the things that I have in my life that I'm so that I try to guard is my integrity. And what God, knowing what God thinks of me, but what people think of me. I don't want to be one way here and another way there. I don't want my family, I don't want it to come to the end. And everybody said, boy, he's a good man. And my wife stand at the casket and said, yeah, but you should have lived with him. Talk to me, somebody. I want my wife to know I love her. I want my kids. Man, we sat yesterday at the house, Brother Lee, and the sun set and it was going down yesterday evening. And we was talking, me and Kaylee and Brandy. And I said, let's just get real. I've had open heart surgery. I've got heart disease. I got heart disease. I don't think I got a disease, but that's what they told me anyway. You know what I'm saying? Heart disease. And I said, so let's get real. My time probably ain't as long as y'all's time. Who knows what God will do? Who can tell what God will do? But I sat there at the house, sun going down. I said, but I want both of y'all to know something. Little Ryder, he ready to knock me in the head with a brick. He ain't thinking. He ain't before. He can't comprehend right yet what I'm telling him. But I said, I want you to know that I love you with all my heart. Kaylee, I want you to know your daddy loves you with all your heart. And I want y'all to know I love God with all my heart. I never want my family to know, was his heart pure? Was he really saved? Do you know how many times I go to funeral homes and go and preach a funeral, and they come up and say, "Preacher, I don't know if my daddy was saved or not. I don't know. I've never seen him in church, never heard him pray, never nothing. No evidence in his life. Preacher, I don't know. I don't know about my mom." Man, you know how many times I hear that? It leaves somebody thinking, what if? Why we got time, why don't we let them know we're really pure at heart? And what we believe and what we teach, that's what we're walking. He said it's real, but he said it's rare. It's rare to find somebody that sits on a pew living it out there. Rare. Very rare. Folks, I'm telling you what, I thank God for this church I get to pastor, and I thank God for the group of people in here. And the church we got here that God's allowed us to raise up here is rare. It's rare. It's rare. I preach all over, everywhere, and it's rare. It's rare. I have pulled up from meetings, going to start at 6 o'clock and pull up at 5:30 and nobody there. 5:45, nobody there. 5:50, nobody there. 5:59, somebody will pull up and unlock the door. 6:10, they could. I come to worship. I've come to learn. I've come to hear from God. Folks, that's rare in the world we live in. I want to give you this tonight, though. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." He said, "You bunch of hypocrites." If there's one thing I don't want said about me when my time comes to the end, is I was a hypocrite. I didn't want that said about me, not one way. I'll never forget when I went to rehab. You know what they told me? They said, "Rehab's for a bunch of quitters." I said, "Thank God I'm going." But I never want to be called a quitter in the house of God. Let me show you what he said here. And we're going to get, man, we're getting running out of time. Let me show you what he says here. He says not only that, he says, "But woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly." He said on the outside, you're like a white tombstone, sepulcher. You are beautiful. Got everything going on, everything together, polished up. He said, "But within, you're just full of dead man bones and all uncleanliness." He said, "What does that mean, preacher?" That means if I sit in the makeup mirror for 2 hours to come to the house of God and ain't spent but 2 minutes in the Bible, it ain't going to do me very much. I can sit up here and dress up and paint up all I want to, but you'll know what's on the inside when I open my mouth. Pure heart is real. Pure heart is rare. But let me show you how a pure heart is rewarded. Look at your text here, Matthew 5:8. Look at the reward you get for being pure at heart. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I say to you, none of us has ever seen God physically, with a physical eye. You say, "Oh, I have." No, you ain't. The Bible says you can't. You can't look on God. He's holy. He's holy. The Bible says, I wrote this down, "You shall see God." I wrote down, what does God look like to you? What does God look like? And I wrote this down, John 4:24, the Bible says, and by the way, when he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," that ain't when you die. That's now. He told his disciples, that's now. So if you can't see God, how am I going to see God? Preacher, that don't make no sense. The Trinity don't make no sense sometimes, but I believe it 100%. It's hard to understand the Trinity. It's hard to understand how you can take a sinful man and save him. There's a lot of things in the Bible that I don't understand, but I believe it. I believe it. I don't know how Jonah can be swallowed up in a whale and then spit out on dry ground and still alive. There's a lot of things I don't believe, brother. I don't understand, brother, but I believe it. So tonight, don't you get this? John 4:24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." I wrote this down. God isn't limited to a physical body like we are. You and I are limited to a physical body. When that body quits breathing, you're gone. You're out of here. God isn't limited to a physical body like we are. When people in Scripture encountered his presence, they described it as light, fire. You remember Moses? Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Speaking through the bush. A still small voice. You remember over there, Elijah? He said, "When did you see me? Did you see me in an earthquake? Did you see me in a fire?" No, you see me in a still small voice. Let me give you this. And an overwhelming glory. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God looks like and you've got to see God, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He touched the leper. He forgave the sinner. And he stretched out his hands on Calvary. That's what he looks like. God looks like compassion, mercy. God looks like love and moves toward us, not away from us. I mean, the real question is this. When folks see us, can they see God in us? They will if we have a pure heart. They will if we have a pure heart. I'll share this and we're going to go. I walked into that jail yesterday, and our DOM was telling us that all they're going to bring out is one block, A block. 15 guys in jail. Five of them knew me on personal basis. Five knew me on personal. I'm talking about didn't walk in the room and say, Brother BJ, walked in there and say, what's up, man? What's up, bro? Knew me on personal. I mean, I'm talking about Brother Austin. I knew him, okay? I knew him. One of them is my age, and he's sitting in the corner. And preach Jesus. When we get done, I look at him. And I said, I called him by name, and I said, man, what you think? He shook his head. He said, man, you've talked to me many, many times. He said, preacher, in front of all them other guys, and he's a black guy. He said, preacher, he said, you the real thing. I said, no. I said, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. He said, preacher, you the real thing. I said, no. He said, man, I wished I listened to you. I said, why, man? I said, you going to get out. He said, in 10 years. He said, they sentenced me today. I'm Kilby Bound. He said, I got kids at home. I got a wife at home. I got family at home. And you know what the judge told me? He said, man, I ain't got a clue. He said, he's tired of me. He said, I done showed up one time too many. I said, he didn't tell you that. He said, yeah, he did. He told me I done showed up one time too many. I should have straightened up. He said, everybody's gave up on me. I'm done, preacher. I called him by name, and I said, man, look here. I don't know if you're going to have to do the whole 10 years. I don't know what you got to do. But I promise you one thing. There's somebody that ain't gave up on you yet. Tears start flowing down his face. And I'm talking about a guy pretty tough. Tears start running down his face, Brother Jim. Running down that cheek. And he said, who is he? You? I said, no, not me. See, I give up on folks. You do too. There's folks you wrote off. There's folks you said, man, I don't know if God can do anything with them or not. And then when he does, you had to eat some humble pie and say, oh, me. And I said, no. I said, his name's Jesus. And I said, man, when you go to Kilby, you listen to me. You might not know nobody there, and you might be feeling all alone. But if you'll turn your life over to Jesus, it'll make all the difference in the world. Folks, I want you to know right now, a pure heart. When he said, preacher, you the real stuff, I could have bragged and said, man, I am. No. That ain't who we are. I know where I come from. I know who I am. I know my family. My family knows I am the black sheep of the family. You hear me? I am the uneducated. I am the one. But listen to me. I got a Father in heaven that loves me, that cares for me, and that's concerned about me. So tonight, I'm asking you a question when you walk out of this building. Are you pure in heart? Is it real? What you've got in Jesus, is it real? And something rare is to be cherished, Brother David. It's not diluted. You know what I'm saying? When I get my coffee out of the coffee pot, I don't want it diluted. I want it strong. Bring it to me. The more, the better. That's what I'm talking about with Jesus. I don't want him diluted. I don't want him polluted. And I don't want him substituted when I'm talking about him. I want you to give me a full dose of him. Give me all of him. Because the more Jesus you got in your life and you letting him shine, the purer your heart will be. It's real. It's rare. Brother Tony, it's rewarded. They shall see God. Father, I love you and I praise you. Glorify you for this night. Thank you for this Bible study. Thank you for how you told us to act, our attitude should be. Lord God, sometimes my attitude ain't that way. But I thank you that your word is still the same, and it's true. Even when my attitude don't line up with your book, Lord God, the Holy Spirit puts me back in line. I thank you for that tonight. I bless you tonight. I thank you for what you do. Bless these folks. In Jesus' holy, precious name, and all of God's people say, Amen. Love on somebody.